Hey man, are you gonna find these guys, or I mean, you got any promising leads or?
Leads? Yeah, sure. I'll just check with the boys down at the crime lab. They got four more detectives working on the case. They got us working in shifts. Leads.
My only hope is that the big
It is the Homemade Broadcast, episode 67. How the heck are you? I am Will, your host, as always. This week, we have a special guest, direct from Los Angeles, California. The street art, no, I guess not even a street artist, just artist, Mr. Xvala. How are you, man?
Doing great.
And also Corey Allen, our good friend, back in studio. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm okay. So we're talking this week about the No Delete show that is happening at Corey's studio. If you remember, I forget what you don't remember what episode, Corey, that was offhand.
Was
I should 63? Know this.
Was it 63?
No, it was in the 50s.
It was in
I
the
think.
50s. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Corey came in and talked about the show that was upcoming at his gallery. This is your first show at your gallery?
Yes, here in St. Peter's.
Official
Peter,
one?
Yes.
Yep. And it caught a lot of attention from the media, because Xvala was going to display the nudes that were found on Google of Jennifer Lawrence and other celebrities, and caught a lot of attention for that. Bad, I guess mostly bad, some good, mostly bad. But so the show has since changed. So Xvala, what's the plan now for this show this Thursday that's opening tomorrow, the 30th?
It'll be at Corey Allen Contemporary Art in St. Petersburg, and it's going to be, the visual of the show is going to be self-shot or self-stylized nude pictures of myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be exposing my privacy to the gallery, which will somehow find its way onto the internet.
So this, you got like threats from like people, like, and so did Corey for that matter.
I got some support as well.
Yeah. Who did you find any support in surprising places?
I should say on this, because I've been getting a lot of the feedback more than Xvala himself. To be honest with you, up to this point, the negative feedback was less than 1% overall. Mm. It's just, that's the only thing that you see on the internet. Or, you know, blogs, or, you know, the media, and people will get upset. Usually people who have a positive attitude or are neutral won't ever comment or take any kind of action. One day we had 106,000 hits, and I think it was definitely less than 1% of any negative comments. Majority of the comments that we received back was that they didn't really care. If she didn't want them up, she shouldn't have taken them. So,
yeah,
which we're not supporting that. We think that everyone should have a right to their privacy. So
people weren't upset the fact that the pictures existed. They were upset for the fact that I was going to make art using the pictures. That's what the controversy was.
Yeah,
there was a lot of blame towards the people who had the pictures released. You know, had them stolen. I felt really strange.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kind of pointed the finger back at them, saying, "Why did you take those pictures?" But
yeah, did you have any conflict, like internal conflict, when you had this idea initially, or
no.
Was it was just full fledged on right away?
It's art.
What do you think about it? Makes it art.
Well, I mean, the basic idea of art is to provide you with a view of the world, reward you with a view of the world that we wouldn't otherwise have.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what this is.
Did you're from LA originally, or
I'm from Oklahoma City originally.
Oh, okay. So that's how you guys met, was in Oklahoma?
Yes, on a project.
Right, to the house?
Yeah, domestic ballist, Brangelina house.
Right. And when did you get to Los Angeles?
I've been going out there since 2004.
Are you living out there now?
I actually travel back and forth. Yep.
Okay.
I have a place there that I stay with friends, and then I have a home in Oklahoma City. And Corey and I have been in talks of opening Cockatoo in Los Angeles, and so we may be out there in kind of a more expansive way soon.
That's cool, man. Yeah, expanding
your
brand.
This is definitely St. Pete's, world headquarters for sure.
Yeah.
But this is definitely my home. I'm not going to move out there with the gallery. I'll just be supporting it with whoever we decide to run the gallery.
He'll run it from here.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's kind of getting off.
So when did you start like making art, when you would finally consider yourself like an artist?
Let me kind of back up on that LA question real quick.
Sure.
So all the photographs in this show, No Delete, that are going to be shown tomorrow in St. Petersburg were shot in Los Angeles, except for a couple of them. And they were shot in the privacy of some friends' homes, and they were also shot off Melrose Place, which, not Melrose Place proper, but really the dirty alley behind Melrose Place.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get a chance to see the photographs, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. It's really disgusting.
You don't mean yourself, right? You mean the actual locations.
The location was horribly disgusting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You had like needles on the ground. And
I was worried about that.
They didn't have bare feet. You should have just taken them with socks on.
No, I had bare feet.
Oh, my gosh.
In fact, some kind of gross, greasy junk got on the bottom of my left foot, and I scrubbed on it off and on throughout the night, and it was not coming off. So
I have this thing where I kind of have like OCD. Like I hate to have like oily hands. Mm-hmm. If I feel it. And even if I wash my hands sometimes, so I like to put just lacquer thinner on them and rub them together.
Oh, wow.
I know that's probably really bad, and it probably makes it worse because that probably just makes it create more oil.
Right.
But I would suggest that. I always feel better after that.
I had to get rubbing alcohol for the stuff to come off my feet.
There you go. Oh, it wouldn't even come off with soap and scrubbing it?
No.
Next time use cat litter.
Really?
No, I'm joking.
Oh, okay. Cause so you just couldn't even scrub it off. It was just did you see like the outline of the stain?
No, the stain was there. It wasn't an outline.
And it wouldn't come off.
No, I'm not kidding. It felt like a gross slug.
Oh,
when you touch
God.
One, that's
yeah.
The bottom of my foot felt like that. It was we arrived over there and basically I took off all my clothes and we began shooting photographs and the photographs that are used, I was partially dressed in, but I was spray painting graffiti, like Google My Wiki and I'm Feeling Lucky, you know, Google terms, on the walls as I was running around clothless, naked.
Was that something where you were just hoping not to get caught?
Absolutely.
So you didn't get like a permit for anything? Like, I don't even think you could get a permit for that, right?
No, nothing I do gets permits.
Yeah.
But there was valets parking cars back in the alleyway from some nice place while we're doing this.
Was it like daytime? Were you,
no.
So you had to have lights and whole deal?
It was after dark.
Oh. Oops. So no Instagram filters. This was, you had to have like lights out there, obviously, to light it and all that.
Right. I mean, literally it was flash photography.
And nobody even, I guess in Los Angeles,
it's no
probably
big.
No. Yeah, it's
I mean,
pretty
you,
normal
you could,
thing.
You could definitely get in trouble for it, but we had good luck.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing art? Like, consider yourself a legit artist.
I would just trace it back to about 2001,
mm-hmm.
maybe, roughly, as Xvala. That's more or less when I created Xvala. So.
How old a guy are you?
Old enough to know better to do what I'm doing. I'm kidding. I'm 44.
Oh, really? You look young, man.
I know.
I thought you were like my age.
Well, how old are you?
I'm going to be 30 this year.
I get that a lot. I get this week, somebody told me they thought I was like 27.
Yeah.
So
that's good for you. I feel like I'm going to be really excited when I'm like 50 because I have this really bad beard and I just grow it to hide my double chin,
mm-hmm.
basically. But if I shave, I look like an infant. I look like a big fat baby
That's
walking
a good,
around.
Good thing.
I think it is. Like, it took me, I think it's a double-edged sword also, but I'm really looking forward to being like 50 because I think I'm going to be a very handsome 50-year-old man.
I'm looking at you. I'm sure you are.
I hope so. I feel it, man. So I think, you know, my goal is to date 20-year-olds when I'm 50.
You don't have to be good looking to be awesome.
That's true. That is true. You just got to have money.
Intro bit you did was Jeff Bridges, right?
Yeah, it was from the Big Lebowski.
Right,
yeah.
The dude,
yeah, the originator.
Was not beautiful. Was probably over 40s. He was awesome.
He was. He was awesome in a very odd way, though. Not a classic, like, hey.
Doesn't matter.
But I think it's true, though, that kind of to touch on this, I think that a woman could find anybody attractive. I think women find different things appealing. Like, you have to, like, you may not find something impressive that somebody is doing, but maybe you should. And I think women could take more from that, maybe. You know, like, if you're doing something, I think that's attractive to women. You don't just have to be, like, a girl just has to be attractive, but a dude can be attractive in other ways. So I think even if I am an ugly 50-year-old and things just go downhill, I think I'll be okay.
That's why you want to be a conceptual artist or a comedian.
Yeah, something. Or right. Just...
More about the mind.
Yeah, I got my hands in a lot of honeypots because I know that I can't depend on my looks. And I don't want to either.
Well, you can't depend just on your looks. But
I don't want to depend on them at all.
Right.
I want to be a total free spirit and just be able to latch on to something. Hopefully I'll find something that I'm really good at along the way. So far, I feel like I'm pretty mediocre and okay at a lot of things. But an all-around renaissance man. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, so you're living in... You said you're splitting time between Oklahoma City and...
Oklahoma City.
L.A.?
Los Angeles, St. Petersburg, and when I can, San Francisco, the Bay Area.
I always wanted to travel there. I have yet to be there, but I heard it's very beautiful out there.
I love it.
It's like 75 degrees all the time, right?
Yeah.
Or colder.
Well, I don't like that. San Diego, maybe I'm thinking of.
San Diego's, yeah, nice.
Yeah. So the show opens tomorrow, and where is it, Corey?
It's in the Warehouse Arts District at 2121 2nd Avenue South. We're across the street from Three Daughters Brewing, which has became a popular scene in our area. It seems that a lot of galleries are popping in and around in that area as well, or, you know, different type of work studios and stuff for artists. So I really like the area.
Yeah.
Really enjoyable.
It's right near the Ray Stadium, landmark-wise.
Yeah, it's pretty close. It's like catty corner to Three Daughters on the northeast side, mm-hmm. I think. I'm really bad with direction.
We're right off the highway also.
Yeah. It's just up central, a couple blocks over.
Right. And our show's at starts at 7. It ends at 10 o'clock, and then we're going around the corner. There's a bar called Sly Bar at 2061 Central Avenue.
Yep.
And we're going to continue over there, and I guess it'll continue till 3 in the morning. But I've talked to some people, and they can't make the show because they're working. But, you know, myself or Exvala or one of the individuals that's helping us with the show, we'll take them over to a tour of it if they want to. So,
is the gallery open? What's the hours of the gallery like during the week?
Right now we're appointment only, but that is going to change probably in the next 2 weeks. We're going to have a pretty an open schedule. But being what I'm trying to do with local art, music, film, and everything else that's going to be tied in with this gallery, you know, those hours are subject to change. But I'm going to have all that stuff posted online.
What's your website?
It's cacanet.com, cacanet.com.
Okay.
And the showroom link is the name of the gallery. I'm a publicist filling in as a gallery owner now and trying to do the public relations gallery concept. So it has a little different spin, mm-hmm. how I promote what's going on. I just want people to talk about art just as much as film and music or, you know, gossip or whatever, sports. I think art should be talked about a lot more. So
yeah, absolutely.
So, but yeah, you're coming though.
I'll be there. Yeah, I'll be there for sure. I'll be there. I'll be probably tonight too, helping you set up for that matter.
Yeah, well, we're still setting up. So to the very last minute.
Yeah. Tomorrow we're going in to see Mike Calta at the Mike Calta Show on the Bone at 9. So this will be tomorrow, which is the 30th, at 9:20.
Right. I'm not going to get any sleep at all.
Yeah. I don't know if I should just keep drinking and go in intoxicated. I guess I got to drive you guys, so I probably should not do that. Not the best idea.
You're coming back to Kaka with us from here, right?
Yes.
So
keep it going.
Right.
Keep it rolling.
Keep it going.
So I want to pick up on one thing you asked me about.
Yes.
Because this is probably the best way to start off on the epic journey that is Xvala. It's it was a name that I created, and this is the genesis of becoming an artist for me, is I needed a name that didn't mean anything, just made up, nothing tied to it, something that could be whatever I want it to be. And I Googled Xvala. This is back probably about the height of the PC era, 2001. And there was no search result, no page rank, nothing. And I don't even know if you could do that with the internet now. But at that point in time, there was no search result. And I thought, this is my word. You know, I just thought it up in my head. I'm getting too far away. I just thought it up in my head. Did the search on Google, nothing. And I thought, this is my word. So I created the word. I created Xvala offline. And I began using it offline. And eventually, so it became a unique internet tag based on the fact that by my using it offline, it somehow found its way online.
Mm-hmm.
Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, well, it makes sense, yeah.
Like secret pictures that eventually ended up online that
right.
weren't really created for online.
Yep.
So to bring it back to this show, No Delete, the concept of it, this really goes back to the genesis of Xvala, the artist, that it was something that was never tied to being released online as online content for Google or anyone else, but it's there now.
Yeah, it's kind of, I guess that's kind of your point, is that it's totally inescapable. Like everything has found its way. You can find it on Google.
Yeah, I mean, just to make it even more clear, the Xvala tag was never even tied to a URL or an email address. I mean, nothing. And then eventually I start searching Google for it, and there it is, because I'm using it offline.
Mm-hmm. No, like, username, not like a screen name for
nothing.
Your Twitter or anything. Or, I mean, now I guess you have one, but at the time you probably didn't in 2001.
But originally it connected to the internet through search engines, through like Google or Yahoo. And so by me taking Jennifer Lawrence and Miss Upton and all these people that had their private photographs hacked and leaked onto the internet that were never supposed to be there, and then deciding that this No Delete show, the visual component of it can't be them at this point because my message was getting drowned out by other messages, and putting myself in there makes perfect sense because I can't delete Xvala any more than they could delete their photographs. So it just became the perfect concept for No Delete. That my now it's gone to a new level for me, though, because now it's obviously going to be my nude selfies.
Yeah. It was hilarious. They had, I don't know if you remember, but remember when Beyonce was on the Super Bowl and they had that picture of her shaking and she looked jacked and she looked like the Hulk and everything.
Yep.
And she sent out all the cease and desist to everybody and everyone was kind of making fun of her because it's like, what are you going to, you got to send it to the internet in general and who controls the internet, you know?
Right.
So it kind of, I mean, it's an interesting concept, and you came up with this in 2001, you said?
I did, because I needed a name. I needed a name that I could have as a unique idea, a unique space. And I literally just thought it up in my head, searched for Xvala on Google, no results, and thought, it's not on the internet. It doesn't exist. You know, basically, that was my thinking.
Yeah, if you are just joining us, we are sitting down with Los Angeles-based artists, and I guess Oklahoma City and St. Pete now, too, Xvala. So the name kind of came even before the concept. You were just trying to find something to call yourself that was completely original, and then kind of the rest came from that.
The name came, I discovered the concept at the same exact time that I started using the name. It's like it's kind of like two things happened at once. So at that point, I kind of had a vision of something I could pursue that was just really unique, you know. I'm a big fan of science fiction, and I just saw everything that you could ever imagine in sci-fi being real.
Is it something where is it more paranoia, do you think, or do you really see this as like it's an issue that I think we need to be concerned about? Or is everybody kind of on the same playing field at this point because we're all in this together now? It's not some people aren't exempt from it.
Like I said earlier, that art is rewards us with a view of the world that we wouldn't otherwise have. Maybe you're not paranoid about the internet. Maybe this made you.
Oh no, I am.
Maybe you are, and maybe you want to become more, or maybe. So, you know, as an artist, you create things that give people this alternate reality, this alternate view, and all of a sudden they can see things that how the world maybe really is, and they didn't know it, or they see that this world's coming, you know, it's a world where it's confronting us, and or maybe it's a world we need to confront, but in the final calculation, those have to be your decisions. So I can't really know what somebody feels about the internet. You know, my job is to create something that will help them see something they wouldn't have seen before.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of your things is you like to go through these guys who create this technology, Zuckerberg from Facebook. What's the guy from Twitter's name?
Jack Dorsey.
Dorsey, and you go through and make kind of rummage through their garbage and then make things from the trash that you find.
I mean, I haven't released pieces based on everything I found. It's not about TMZ. You know, it's not about... for instance, this is so typical, you know, because I do what I do, you know, everybody wants to have their message out there, but as an artist, you know, it's kind of like Google. You want to filter a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and show what you want to show. I've gotten requests to do all kinds of interviews, and people want specific things from me. One of the most common things is just show us all the trash. Show us everything you got.
Yeah.
That was on Mark Zuckerberg. They wanted to see all the contents of the trash, and this is The Atlantic.
Really?
Yeah.
The Atlantic's like not propaganda-based, or, well, sure, it's propaganda-based, but not like sensationalist. You know, they kind of report the news, or so they say, and they just wanted to see their dirty laundry.
They wanted to
much.
See what Mark Zuckerberg's trash had in it.
That's
what they, and they wouldn't.
Why don't they just send a reporter then down there and go do it?
They did an interview with me. It's written, and it was never published. And
because you wouldn't give up the goods?
I gave up more than I wanted to, and I won't do that again.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't make... They have their deadlines. There's a lot of reasons why things do or do not make it into the media at large. I have no control over those things, so I just decided from that point on that I'm only going to release what I want to release, and... If they don't do it, then they don't do it. I don't care.
You're like the Edward Snowden of the art world. You got to start going underground, put you in a hotel room in Beijing, and I feel like that's where we should be
That'd
doing this
be
interview.
That would be super awesome.
That would be pretty sweet. I've never been to Beijing.
He'd probably have a heart attack.
I don't think Corey really likes Chinese people. No, that's not true. He loves everybody. He doesn't like everybody the same. Let's just put it that way.
Well, no, what he was referring to is that I'd be dealing with all the
right.
the publicity.
He's sitting target. He's a sitting target
oh, yeah.
over there.
Which I'm fine with. You know, I believe in what Xvala is doing. I mean, I wouldn't have this platform for him to show his work if I didn't. And obviously, not everything was promoted in the media. I've spoke with quite a few residents in the area, outside of the area, but most recently, I've been out visiting with a lot of different. Business owners and just individuals from all different ages, and we ended up somehow would talk about the show, and I've had a few people who were just completely angry with me, but we had some really good talks about it, and they saw where we were coming from, and because I still that picture isn't painted, I think we just kind of let go of it because now it's about Xvala giving up his privacy,
yeah.
and but before, you know, with what everything Xvala has been doing over years with the trash. It's, you know, putting your information out in the street. It's just trash. But you know what? Sometimes that defines us more than what's online, you know. And
And we don't pay attention to that. And I think what this all show is now finally progressed to, it really makes more sense, because it is a, to me, this everything that this Fair Google campaign and the sculptures and the leaked photos and paparazzi shot photos and all the things that Xvala's been doing, it's a performance piece more than anything. I mean, and I'm just really happy that people really started getting more involved, doing petitions. I mean, that's what Xvala reacted to. And I think that's what his art feeds off of, is participation. Not just social commentary, but people actually taking action, because we're really getting into a scary time in our lives with our privacy, what's appropriated, what's not, what's right and wrong. Like, I'm not trying to get off on a long tangent here, but, you know, like Cody Wilson, when we were talking about the 3D printed gun printers, he printed a gun and fired it. Does he have to have a gun license? You know, I mean, there's a lot of questions and things that are, and, you know, having this platform creates discussion, it creates debate, and it creates anger, a discomfort, a happiness, confusion, but it also, I think, at the end of the day, will hopefully educate and get people thinking differently if they weren't that concerned about where we're going in the digital era. So that's my goal as a promoter, as a gallery owner, and having this platform. And, you know, but I'm really excited for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And see what kind of response we get.
We want people to come.
Yeah, I think you're going to have a big turnout. I really
come
do.
Come tomorrow to the Kaka Showroom in St. Petersburg, Florida.
No doubt. Everybody's going to be there. No I'm delete. Telling all my friends about it, and I have like 3 friends, so they're all going to be there. Should be a good time.
They have 3 friends, and then they have 3
They'll
friends.
Tell 3 friends.
It's
yeah.
called a network effect.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. One of the things I think is interesting about the internet is that we are more connected as a species than ever. But at the same time, I feel like there's a disconnect there, too, because you lose that human interface, and now it's just a pure, almost like a digital connection. I talk to a lot of my friends on Facebook now, and I don't even text anymore. It's usually through the messenger.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I was talking to a friend of mine, and they were talking about how difficult it must have been for some of the artists back in the day to kind of... you know, I think we were talking about Dali and some of the weird stuff he painted and the naked women and things like that. And I almost feel like, you know, they're like, oh, they must have, you know, they had a stick up their butts back then. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's probably worse now. I feel like we've gotten more PC now than ever. And there's a lot of, with the internet, if something comes up, that's a big thing. People like to be angry and they like to be outraged by things. And it kind of gives them an outlet to do so. Like Twitter outrage is just, it's so easy to do with a hashtag. There you go. Boom. And now you got it. Now you're just going to get potentially a lot of hate, you know. And even you got caught up, Xvala, with Anonymous. Even got a hold of you. And you sent me the first interaction I've had with you. Although we talked on the phone once. I got a text message. And it said, Jeff, I forget, I don't have the message on me right now, but it was scary.
Can you believe they didn't even call me Xvala?
Yeah, they went by your real name, yeah. Yeah.
It's not right.
But it scared me, because I was like, no, I'm not him. Like, that was, I like dropped my phone. I was like, oh, no, that's pretty scary.
Yeah, so I got that anonymous text at 5 a.m. Sunday morning, and my eyes, when I sleep and I wake up, my eyes are blurry. So it took me probably 10 minutes to read this 120-character text. And, I mean, literally, it could have been a tweet. And first thing I did, I just copied and pasted and sent it to Corey, which resulted in him dropping his phone in the toilet the next morning.
Yeah,
I read it.
That's what I did,
but,
too.
I sent you that without warning. That was our first communication as a way for you to understand what it's like to make art like this. You know, it made it real for you, which is my point with taking things... somewhat out of context and recontextualizing them, and they do take on real meaning for people. So for you, that was real.
Oh yeah,
and
certainly
you
was.
You were freaking out, and but you know, when you make art like that, you're going to have to go through this moment where the whole internet hates you, and that's probably what that felt like at first. Like the whole internet's going to be after me now. I mean, because these guys are sort of the strong arm of the internet. So
did anything ever, did you like call the police or anything?
No.
No? And nothing really came of it? You didn't notice anything?
Why would I notice right now?
Well, I mean, like, they didn't, they like, mess with your emails or,
maybe
you know.
They did. I mean, I don't know. They might be collecting everything I do right now. You don't know with these people.
Yeah. I wonder if they even know that the show has been changed or anything like that, or the concept of the show was changed.
I never texted him back.
You didn't?
No.
Did you try to Google the number and see who the number was?
It's Connecticut.
Connecticut.
I did.
Who?
Yeah, it I've been promoting with Xvala and Daniel Edwards for quite a while now, for years, and I go through this time over again. Usually we make somebody upset, and it's not, you know, it's not necessarily our goal. You know, we know that, we understand going into something we are going to do that to some people, because you can't make everyone happy. And, you know, sometimes people feel what we do is controversial, but everything that we do, there's an underlying message. And sometimes you just have to kind of dig beneath it, and we just stick to our guns. You know, this did change. The show did change. But it was because Xvala got what he really, what he wanted. He got social reaction from it by the petition. I mean, that was it. I mean, we've done pieces before in the past. I'm doing a book on cease and desist letters. That doesn't, you know, really scare me, because I'm not, you know, I'm promoting art. And if I don't believe it's art, then maybe it would scare me. But I believe, and when we get, you know, text from hackers or just, you know, certain groups, whatever it may be, you know, I just have to kind of let it come and go and weather the storm. But yeah. But that was an interesting one. And yes, I did drop my phone in the toilet.
Really?
I was actually up really late working, and I had to get up earlier for an interview, and they were going to call my phone. So I was reading, and I was walking, and like him, I was opening my eyes, and I'm going into the bathroom, and the lid was up, and the phone just shot out of my hand as I was trying to read it, and it just shot out, and I was like, okay, well, there goes the interview.
So it was the phone useless?
It was trash.
It's a bummer, man. Yeah. So what the show is tomorrow, and yes. It is, what's your address again?
It's 2121 Second Avenue South. Again, it's in the Warehouse Arts District, and like I said, somewhat across catty corner from Three Daughters Brewing Company.
And by the Ray Stadium,
because
that thing is humongous.
It is.
You can see it.
Everyone's kind of very upset right now because our manager just left. Uh-oh. Oh. It's the computer. Whoopsie-daisy.
Sorry
about that. I thought something, because I had my last interview, I was telling you, I had bad audio at the beginning. I blamed it on the internet. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, no, it's not the internet. It was just my computer. If I let this thing sit too long, it just
starts.
Have you noticed how the internet has evolved over?
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, when we did, I've noticed this no delete concept really made it kind of solidify in my head, is that back in 2011, I did ScarJo in the streets of LA, not a gallery. And, you know, I think Corey and I talked about it. It was like a more celebrated and, you know, kind of, it was a fun idea for people.
That was her nude photos that leaked. That. And do you think that had anything to do with it was more celebrated? Because it was, I saw the sticker and it kind of had, the parts were covered. And
no,
kinda,
I mean, there was never any idea to do it that way for that reason. I didn't know what kind of response I would get.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's the way the internet was at that point. I think people were just at a different place. And I think now there is more of a groupthink almost, or I don't know, maybe more rampant PC thinking.
I think it's more not the internet. I think it's more the evolution of social media. I think Twitter was a big thing.
Well, I roll those together because
Well, I think
they're not knocking on my door physically.
Right.
Right.
You know, when I first talked to you and you asked me, you know, if a woman would have created this piece or somebody different, and you know, I told you at the time, I was like, you know, I really thought of that because my mind's been set on everything that we've been doing. To this day, it made me really look at it from a different perspective. And I see a lot of double standards that are coming out in social media and through the internet. And because it's becoming more
connected, like you were saying, that you're seeing that more. I mean, it's funny because when we did the ScarJo and we put those images up, we, you know, people were happy, but those were stolen property. So what's the difference between that and this? And that was the point what Exvala was doing and what I was supporting as a publicist. And now the other thing on this, after these Jennifer Lawrence and Kate Upton and other celebrities' images were leaked out, you know, Kim Kardashian's images came out, and I read the comments and responses, and everybody was bashing her, you know, and it's like, okay, well,
When did Kim Kardashian have some?
The second wave of the fapping.
Yeah, it was the second wave.
I did not see
There's
this one.
There's been 4 or 5 waves.
Really?
Yes.
How come I haven't heard anything
because
about
this? Because the first one's the only one that matters.
Yeah, and then it starts to die out. It's just, it's typical in the media and with the press. They're trying to still keep feeding it, and, you know, people just get tired and they move on to the next thing.
If there had been more Jennifer Lawrence content, maybe a sex video, something like that, it would have blown back up.
Yeah.
I wonder if it has anything to do, because the internet does love Jennifer Lawrence for some reason. She's like a big...
Didn't know that when I did this.
Yeah. She's like... I don't know if you visit Reddit, but I'm an avid Redditor, and that's kind of just a link aggregator where they kind of... People submit links, and then it's voted on, and what gets higher votes goes to the top. Yeah. And for some reason, they love... And it is a huge community. I think it's like one of the top 10 sites on the internet.
Right.
And they love her.
Are you a 4chan person as well?
I subscribe to the 4chan subreddit of Reddit, but I'm afraid to go on there. Those people scare me.
Really?
Yeah. I don't want to be a part of that. There's some crazy stuff on there, man. Like, I'm happy just seeing what they're doing over there, and a lot of it's very creative, you know, and it's interesting how they can kind of mess with people in interesting ways, you know what I mean? Like, if they have, they're notorious for, like, if they have a voting, something like, you can vote on to name this product, and then they'll just name it something horrible, and it goes to the top, and then they have to cancel the contest because it's you know, they can't name it Hitler Did Nothing Wrong. You know, it's just, you can't do that. And I think they did one thing, too, where, like, it was have Pitbull, I think, perform at a Walmart or something, and the highest voters. And then it was one in like rural Alaska somewhere that there's like 4 people that go there. And that's the one. And I think he actually went there and performed too, which is awesome on his part.
You can do what I do and have a friend go on with you. So you've got a buddy.
Does he know what he's doing though?
Yeah. Cause
I don't know what I'm doing. I wouldn't know where to start.
Clint
on that
knows.
Thing. Yeah.
He's a daily 4chaner.
Cause there's different like boards
in fact,
stuff like that.
He's the one that told me those images were on 4chan on Saturday night.
And is that where they started at?
I saw him. He works at the Cheesecake, and I saw him the next day. And he's like, "Yo," he's like, "I didn't tell you, but you saw, you know, Jennifer Lawrence was naked on the." He goes, "I didn't even think they were real." And so I just Googled it. I didn't go to 4chan, but yeah. So he takes me through.
Yeah, and then he calls me up, and he said, "Man, because you know there had been some leaked photos since the ScarJo, but we weren't interested because of the." You know, the message behind
Tons
the ScarJo.
Tons of leaked images, actually. Lots.
Well, the message behind the ScarJo was that she wanted to disappear from the internet, basically. She wanted them all removed. And the response from Exvala was to, you know, well, you can't, basically.
It's impossible.
Right?
Well,
I said, that's my idea you're stealing.
Well, then, you know, between that time and up to this point, before we did release the Jennifer Lawrence deal, I mean, there had been other leaked stuff, but it wasn't interesting because the dialogue wasn't there. But as soon as... He saw, we discussed that. He said, man, the leaked photos are just keep coming. And then that next day in the media, it said stolen property. And Exvala called me up and said, now they're discussing a stolen property, you know, something what he was trying to do in 2011. So that's the only reason why we stepped in. But, you know, it's getting to a point where, for me as a promoter, looking at the way people are leaving, I mean, it's really kind of hard to direct who you are in this market today. And that's the other flip side I wanted to say about the internet, and especially with social media, because you do one thing wrong, it's, you know, it's just like, if you know, like a restaurant, if you had one bad experience, you know, they're going to tell more friends than a person with a good experience.
You get yelped.
Type deal.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can't go anywhere without being categorized, rated. I mean, you know where all your friends are eating, you know.
Literally, you can't go anywhere because your phone's in your pocket.
Right.
And that's tracking you. So that was another thing that really I was keenly aware of as this all happened. I can still almost remember where I was visually when these ideas came to me. And, you know, it's weird. It's almost kind of a religious kind of feeling, but it's like, you know, call me future man or whatever, but I feel like I'm kind of tuned in to where things have been and where they are going somewhat. And I like to you know, bring that into what I do.
Yeah, you found an interesting topic to do work on. And if you are just joining us, we are sitting down with artist Xvala and Corey Allen, which is the curator of the Corey Allen Contemporary Art Gallery. And the show is No Delete is called, and it is opening tomorrow, October 30th at 7 p.m. And it's free, right? You don't have to pay anything to get in.
Yeah, it's free, and then we'll have some beverages and food, and yeah, it's...
Naked pics.
You can bring your dogs and cats and, you know.
If you want to pull down your pants and walk around, you know, feel free. So, when did you, is it 2011? Because I saw there was a lot of links when I was kind of doing some research that was kind of a big year for you. Was that the one that kind of set everything off?
No, I wouldn't say it. Well, you mean online?
Well, or I just saw like the work from the dumpster dive in and stuff like that. Like that's when things, it seemed like that your online presence kind of blew up. Was that year?
Yeah, I guess maybe so. I think that's the first time I got international headlines. Well, back when we did the Brangelina, there was some stuff in England written about it, but you know, as kind of a standout idea and concept that I was kind of bringing to people's attention, that definitely 2011 put me on Google in a big way.
What was like your big piece that kind of got a lot of attention?
I would say ScarJo was pretty big. About, oh, I don't know, maybe a month later I did the Mark Zuckerberg's Not Very Well Hung Hanger, mm-hmm. which was it's dumpster dive trash created into a artistic sculpture of his hanger that's not hung very well. So what was really cool about that was, unfortunately, Steve Jobs passed, and the day he passed, I announced my Mark Zuckerberg Not Very Well Hung Hanger sculpture.
Oh, bummer.
In the media.
And he got swallowed up there.
No.
No?
The interesting thing is, at least for 24 hours, maybe 48, maybe not quite that long, if you searched Mark Zuckerberg, and he had released a formal statement, a written statement about Steve Jobs, all you could find on Google, the first five or six results were about me creating trash art from him, from his content.
You did Steve Jobs too?
Well, what I'm saying is the story in the media was not that Mark Zuckerberg had nice things to say about his mentor, to some degree, Steve Jobs. It was the fact that Xvala the artist has created a piece of art from his trash in the headlines on Google for probably a good day or so, right after Steve Jobs died, like the next day. And I just thought that blew my mind.
Well, I'm looking forward to the show. It is tomorrow, October 30th, 2014, at the Corey Allen Contemporary Art Gallery. What's your address, Corey?
It's 2121 2nd Avenue South in the Warehouse Arts District.
And what's your guys' Twitters and stuff? We got to wrap it up. We're out of time.
At Xvala.
Xvala?
Yeah.
And what's Corey? What's yours?
At Corey Allen Kaka, CoreyAllenCaca.
Very nice. And mine is home_made_man. So for Radio St. Pete, the Homemade Broadcast, my name is Will Kuntz. I'll see you tomorrow at the No Delete Show. I hope you all show up, and I'll talk to you later. Goodbye.